studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, thank you for joining us here today at Abounding Grace. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church, joined again with Kevin Eflint, Pastor Kevin Eflint of the Bellingham United Reformed Church. Well, this Friday session, again, we want to remind you that we do and are happy to take your questions on these Friday sessions of Abounding Grace. You may email us through lindenurc.com, and the email address is aboundinggrace.com. At lindenurc.com. Well, today we thought, Kevin and I thought, we would take up the subject again of ministry, of pastoral ministry, about what the role and calling is of the church. This is such an important subject in our day when it just seems that the church is so polarized today. It seems that people are confused as to what the direction of ministry should be, what God calls us to be as ministers, and what God calls the church to be. And if you're a non-believer out there today, this is an important subject for you because maybe you've been presented with churches that have not traditionally called and presented to you Christ and Him crucified, but today are just telling you how to live right. And we would say, first and foremost, the church's role is telling you and calling you to believe in Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to start today by looking at the Great Commission. And Kevin, you know, in the Great Commission, we read this passage. Jesus, at the very end of His ministry, after the resurrection, gathered His disciples to Himself, and He said, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, speaking, telling them, do all that I command you." And He says, "Lo, I will be with you always to the end of the age." Can you give us a basic breakdown of what the Great Commission is and how we ought to understand that today?
Well, Chris, as you talk about the Great Commission, you're talking about Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus gives the command to the church to go into all the world and make disciples, as you already said. If we're going to say that that is a commission that's been given to every individual Christian, then every individual Christian should be carrying some baptismal water with them wherever they go, because it clearly says make disciples by baptizing and teaching. We would say that that commission has been given to the church, and it's the church's task to administer the means of grace, the sacraments, the preaching of the word, and through those means, the church is built up and disciples are made for the Lord.
Very, very good point. And the whole notion of sort of everyone taking on, putting out their boots and going out and fulfilling the church's commission really does undermine the organization and the church that the Lord has set apart specifically to preach the word and to baptize. I think you see a lot of this today with parachurch organizations, where the goal today is to bridge the gap from the church, which is viewed as stuffy and cold liturgies, really is stuck in the past. And you see this with the rejection of a lot of broad mainstream denominations. So they get these new ministries in that sort of try to bridge the gap from the church to the culture. And so in the name of relevance and in the name of contextualization, these parachurch ministries will do things that clearly undermine, at the end of the day, the work of the church, so that the work of the church doesn't seem that exciting when all of these new things are being introduced, and therefore a lot of everything of what Christ commissioned the church to do and to be is undermined. And I think that's very concerning. You have anything you want to add to that?
Well, I think you're right on target that many of these parachurch organizations, in a sense, they're not doing it cognizantly, they're not doing it purposefully, but they are undermining the ministry of the local church. Now, on the flip side, you could also say a lot of these parachurch ministries exist because the local church is not doing what they're supposed to do.
Yes.
When you have even conservative, quote-unquote, reformed denominations who have moved to much more of a entertainment-based, seeker-sensitive mentality, and you've moved away from the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments, you're going to open yourself up to other organizations to come along and try and do something that the church is not doing.
Now, we don't want to undermine everything that's going on out there. Our point that we're trying to raise is Jesus gave the church a specific mandate. Preach the gospel and baptize. And a lot of times, certain agencies and certain, obviously, parachurch organizations like seminaries and things are necessary, but we want to make sure that they're not undermining the work of the local church, and that that in a sense they are doing things under the oversight of a local elders and deacons and those sort of things. So, again, the Great Commission is a command from Christ to baptize and to teach. And historically, that has always been understood as specifically given to those office bearers and those leaders in the church, preachers of the word, who are mandated to proclaim the gospel in an authoritative way and also to baptize. Now, Paul says something very interesting in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He talked about, and if you know the church in Corinth, it was a church compromising very much its ministry. And he says, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building, according to the grace of God which was given to me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it." But then here's the exhortation. "But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now, the important point he's making there, and looking at a church that was wanting to compromise the message of the gospel and use all the worldly techniques to win the lost, what he's saying is that Jesus Christ has commissioned his church to build and lay upon the foundation with certain tools, certain resources, and that is the preaching of the word, and that is the administration of the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. When those things, when we reject those things and move to lay upon a foundation with other things, Paul says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it." What he's saying there is that you can actually build with the wrong resources. You can actually do things in the life of the church that are undermining what Christ has said to build with. Anything you want to add to that, Kevin?
No, I think, well, other than the fact that you know, these means that you just mentioned, sacraments and preaching, are not flashy.
Right.
They're not exciting. They're not wise in the eyes of the world. It's not a way to go that the world would think we should go. But when we do the things that God has commanded us to do, it's a reminder to us that God gets all the glory. God gets the glory through the foolishness of the message. God gets the glory through the foolishness of the means. God gets the message through the foolishness of the messengers, which is us. And so God uses these foolish things to shame the world and to draw all glory to himself.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing. In the ancient world, and this has kind of been forgotten today, the ancient world was very artsy. They were very good artists. And, you know, not one of the biblical writers ever said use images, use these sort of things to represent Christ or to sort of win the people with plays. Plays were very common back then. Never once do you find that in the Bible. What you find constantly is faith comes by hearing. And Jesus gave a whole parable of the sower on hearing. How are you hearing the word? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word preached. I mean, that's the context there in Romans chapter 10. And Kevin just cited 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's by the foolishness of the message preached that God chooses to save. So we need to remember that. It's not that God couldn't use those other means. It's that he has told us what he delights to work through. And so if we're going to be a faithful church, then we have to honor exactly what he said. Now, the challenge is what do you do in light of all these, Kevin, all these different approaches to ministry today? How does a church that really wants to remain biblical, that really wants to honor the Lord and focus on preaching, when I'm sure you've heard it, sermons are too long today. Give us more stories. Give us more entertainments. How do you continue to fight that good fight when you have so much compromise going on today? What a challenge laid before us, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's why it's absolutely critical that you surround yourself with elders who think the same way. I think both of us are blessed to serve in congregations where we have elders who hold the same thing that we do, which is faithful preaching. Preaching that points to Christ, the faithful administration of the sacraments, and although, you know, we hear all the time we should be using these other methods, these other means, you have to have men around you who are lining up with you and who are not either A, yes men, or B, always looking to the world to drive the marketing of the church. So it's critical to have godly men serving alongside you.
Yeah, a market-driven church today where so many are looking at surveys and statistics and things to try to determine what is successful. And you don't know how many people come down our path and say that, you know, we're on burnout from all this. They come, they show up, they say, you know, we've been in churches where the gospel's not preached. All that's there are people being entertained. And we want to be fed with the Word of God. And I think there is a turnaround happening. I maybe I'm wrong in saying that, but it seems to me we're on the brink of a big change. And maybe a lot of what's going on today is hitting burnout. I don't know.
So. Yeah.
One of the things that we were talking a little bit about here, and we posed this question was laid before us. Why is the church today so ill-equipped to defend itself? What do we need to do to, again, take a more aggressive role in promoting truth in a day where everyone cries tolerance?
Well, I think, Chris, we have to look at first of all, pastors. Are pastors well-trained? Are our pastors preaching faithfully the Word of God and preaching the gospel? Are the elders holding the pastor accountable to do that? Are the members of the church discerning to know that when to know when the pastor is preaching that which is not in accordance with Scripture or not in accordance with our doctrinal standards? So, you know, you have to have, you know, there's accountability in all those areas. And I think that it starts, obviously, with the pastor and the elders, but it's also very important, as we see in the book of Acts, that like the Bereans, they search the Scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was true. And so you need to have members as well who are willing to be discerning and willing to study and willing to know what they believe.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting point. It seems to me today almost the minister has become a sort of sacrament. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but where people will come and they'll really look at the articulate nature of the minister, the things that he says, the way that he can perform up there, and they think they're going to get their spirituality through the minister as opposed to through the word itself being preached. Now, I don't know. You understand that distinction, I'm sure. We see this a lot today. And what Kevin was just saying is very true. We have to be students of the word. We have to be studying the word. We have to be able to defend and know what we believe. And, you know, there are many people today. I think of that verse that Paul warned Timothy about. People have a form of godliness, but God's power is denied. Kevin, give us some concluding remarks and tell us about your worship this Sunday.
Well, I think, Chris, you know, the importance, again, of preaching the gospel, even though it's not flashy, administering the sacraments, loving and shepherding God's people. We can talk about that, more about that in the weeks to come. But our worship services are at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, 6 p.m. on Sundays. We meet in the Bellingham Christian School Gymnasium at 1600 East Sunset Drive. We'd love to have you visit us.
Have a wonderful weekend, and may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.
And with that, we come to the end of our time today here on Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden with our teacher and pastor, Pastor Chris Gordon. If you have questions, comments, maybe a prayer request, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a couple of thoughts in your mind you just can't get away from and you'd like someone to talk with, feel free to call or write to us. Our phone number is 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. Or stop by our website, lindenurc.com, and drop us an email. While you're there, pay us a visit and check the website out. We've got a lot of information about who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at United Reformed Church of Linden. Again, that's lindenurc.com. If you're writing to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. Linden, Washington, 98264 is the zip code. And again, the phone number, 360-318-0429. If you would like to join us for worship, we do meet at 8650 Benson Road, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays. We'd love to have you join us. In fact, if you do, would you let one of the ushers know you were invited by the radio broadcast? That would encourage us a great deal. And then we trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.